Session number 5868, Horton Monday, part 45.
Well, I says, what is yeah? I says, well, I said I was first class shot in 1914. I said, and I've been out there twice. I've been out abroad twice. I said, I reckon I know how to fire a rifle now. He said, well, he won't let you go. I said, well, tell him I'll volunteer for the next draft abroad if he'll give me permission. Yes, I'll ask him. And he come payday. He come back. He said, no, he won't let you go. So I had a telegram for my mother. I took the telegram to this captain. I said, look here. I said, now, ask him if he'll let me go now. I said, I'll volunteer for anything. Well, the next day we were getting paid. We lined up, you know, you line up, get your pay, and the quartermaster sits there and the captain, and he gives you your 5 bob a day stunt. And I had 10 bob a week, so I was last corporal. And our captain said, it's no good. He said, he will not give you a pass. I thought, bugger you. So I said to my old mate, old Vic Matthews from Aylesbury, another chap, I went to the orderly room, nobody beat. Hanging on the board was the day's orders, signed at the bottom, Colonel so-and-so, I forget his name. So I ripped it off, I went back in the hut, and I went to the orderly room, and a chap along the front, he's dead now, old Dick Cable. I said, Dick, can you fiddle me a pass? He was in the orderly room. So he said, yeah. He said, well, I didn't give it you. I said, no, I know that. I went back and I wrote this colonel's name down time after time. And old Vic said, oh, he said, that looks beautiful. He said, it won't get any better than that. So I signed the colonel's name. And he wrote, I went away at night. Began to get dust. You could go down into Richmond as you like, you see, from the camp at Catterick. And I waddled off down, went to the railway station. I said, give me a ticket to York. I thought, if I get to York, then I can gradually work my way down country. So the clerk in the booking office said, got your pass? I said, yeah. Give it him. Well, he said, there's no orderly room stamp on this pass. Oh, I thought, well, I forgot it. I said, oh, I know all about that. I said, I went to the colonel. I said, look, I see this telegram, I said. I went to the colonel and I told him as I wanted to get home quick. I said, and the colonel signed the pass, and he says, here you are, get away as quick as you can. He said, you'll never catch that train. So, of course, I said, no, of course, I forgot. I galloped away. I thought it was stamped. Oh, I said, all right, give me a ticket to York. I thought, that's all right. I said, it's a dead end, you know, Richmond is. Dead end there, and then you go from there to Darlington. And, oh, well. I was sat in that train and the blooming thing wouldn't move. I kept wiggling my feet in a compartment by myself and it wouldn't move. Oh, hell. Door opened. There was a red cap, police red cap. He said, Corporal, you got your pass? I said, yes. Give it him. He says, no orderly room stamp on it. I said, no, so I know all about that. I told him the same tale, you see, but that booking office clerk had put him wide. I knew that. That's what happened. Any road, he shut the door and away he went. The blooming train wouldn't go. I lit a fag and smoked that and it wouldn't go. Open come the door again. Oh, well. That red cap stood there and a sergeant of the red caps with him. So the sergeant said, can I see your pass, Corporal? I said, yeah. I showed it him. He said, come on out, come on out. He said he wasn't having any of it. And that caused it. Then I was dumped in the civil police station and picked up and at night, because there's a lot I could tell you in between. And away I went back and ended up in the guard room at our camp and part of the camp. And there was a row of us waiting for a court-martial in there. Six or seven or eight different cells, you know, in a row. It was iron nut it was, with a corridor along the side and a hole in the middle, you know, where the police looked through. It was a long corridor. And a little vent at the back, like, you know, in the lavatory, them vents.
Yeah.
That's all there was, a little vent at the back and me bed. Nothing else in there. Locked in. If you wanted a good tie, you had to kick the door, the iron door, and then they'd come and let you out and led you down and led you back. I emptied every blooming thing you got, tunic, all emptied me money out, me wallet, and fags and matches, and even fag ends. Shook me tunic upside down, shook fag ends out, cleared the lot. Oh, blimey, well, I think about two, this were on a Friday, was it? I think it was Saturday and Sunday. You had somebody come in to clean your cells in the morning for you, you know. Never had to do a thing. Fed, they fed you like lords. Plenty of food, but nothing else. Locked in. Somebody clean you out and make your bed. Well, on this all morning after two, door opening come the bloke with his brush and shovel and sweep me and clean me out, and it was my old mate, Vic Matthews. I was, oh, hell. He says, yeah, he said, I heard you was here. He said, so I got a little bit of CB so I could come in and clean you out. I said, oh, no, lovely. He said, and when I made your bed, he said, look under your blanket. I said, oh. The police sergeant come by the door just as he were talking. Said, stop yapping. Told Vic, you know, stop talking to me. He said, stop yapping. Old Vic turned around and gave him a nice mouthful. But anyway, after old Vic had gone, I just folded the blanket back. There was a packet of five woodbines and a few matches. Yeah. So, of course, at night, in the middle of the night, when it were all quiet, I stretched myself up on the bed, poured it around, and blew the smoke down out the vent. Yeah. Lovely, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, then along it come. We had to go out. This was Sunday morning. Of course it was. They were lined up for church parade. That's right. They were lined up for church parade and they took all us prisoners, 7 or 8 of us, whatever it was, us prisoners. Police sergeant took us out and marched us along in front of the parade, waiting to go to church. Disgraced we was, you know, to make us feel ashamed. Well, that never upset me, that didn't. And took us out onto the moors, Yorkshire moors. He wasn't a bad bloke. Took us out there and give us a fag each. Very good of him. And I got talking to these others, and do you know, everyone were the same. Desertion. All the same, and I was the only one out the lot that were caught. Others had all got away. But anyway, they all got caught at the finish. But I was the only one as didn't get away from Richmond and Catterick. And I was talking to one old hand. He was one of the Jew boys and all. He said, oh, well, he said, kid, he says, this is my second time. I said, oh, blimey. He says, yes, they caught me in the same place. I says, where? He says, Whitechapel. I thought, well. And he says, what are you in for? I said, oh, I've got a little bit on one side. I says, I've got desertion and forging the colonel's name. Oh, well, he said, you're before it. I said, no. But anyway, that's what happened. When I had to appear before him, the old captain, he spoke for me, oh blimey. He gave me a marvellous character. Said I knew this man on the psalm, I knew him, you know, and give me a blooming good character.
What sort of
things
did he say?
Well, that he knew me and I was reliable, a good soldier and all that old bosh, you know what they get. And these on the bench, the judge and jury, as you might call them, they looked at that old colonel. And they, you know, they looked at him as good as say, well, thou didn't you let him go, you know, not stop him. Because he looked uncomfortable, I could tell that. And they altered the charge. They said, no, he's not charged with desertion. He's charged with attempted absence without leave. But forging the colonel's name, well, I ain't got kind of chance. So the old colonel, after he had a word to say, he said, oh, he said he made a perfect example of my signature. I thought, bugger you. But anyway, reduced to the ranks, next draft abroad, and that's where I went.
Were you confined to barracks or anything as well?
No, finished, that was your sentence.
Yeah. Just get straight, at Catterick Camp, was this people from all regiments, or was this again the
Battalion? Oh, no, be golly me, no, there were 20,000 there. Oh, this Catterick Camp was the main camp of supplying the front with recruits.
I see, yeah.
Oh, hell, Catterick Camp. Why,
before you'd done this, though, before you had got into trouble, what do you think your job would have been there if you had stayed there?
I don't know what it would have been. I'm sure I don't know, but it's more than likely that I'd been sent there to try and get fit again. See? That's more than likely, because, you see, I'd had a medical board. Well, being sent there, it's more than likely I'd got to be got fit again to be sent abroad again. That's the idea behind it all. But the main troops there, they were all recruits. You know, as they were called up in the army in batches, they were sent to Catterick to be trained. There wasn't a great number of us old hands there at all. That shipload that I went back with, I don't know, it must have been 1,000 or something on the ship. Well, they were practically, the whole lot was recruits, just joined up. There was only a very few of us that were old hands. Oh, yeah.
Where were you assigned to then? When they said, you know, first, next draft out?
What happened then? I had to do my firing course, you know. He said I had to. So I went on the ranges there, and I never hit the target once. Missed it every time. Never hit it once, right close up, I couldn't hit it. I knew I didn't, I aimed at the number on top. I knew I didn't intend it. And anyway, after the firing course, I had 10 days embarkation leave. Something like that. I come home for the 10 days and I stopped here and I wouldn't go back. Well, I did go back, but my poor old mum worried to death.
Why was your mum so worried?
Well, see, what worried me, mum, George, you see, when he were home on leave, he were home waiting for me to come home, see? Well, he wouldn't go back. He said, I ain't going back there, aught comes. So the military police come up, down south somewhere, Salisbury Plain or somewhere. Military police come and fetched him, you see. Took him back. And when the time was up, my mum said, oh boy, you'll be both back tomorrow. I said, not me, I ain't. Oh, she says, you'll have to go back. Oh, so I ain't going back. I said, don't worry. But anyway, next day come, I hadn't gone. Oh, she said, ain't you? I said, no, I ain't going. Oh, she says, what will the neighbours say? She says, the police had to fetch her, George, and they'll have to come and fetch you. I said, well, I said, what matter? Can't do worse than what they have done. Send me abroad. I said, what's the thing you can get? So Annie ran, and poor old dear, worried. I said, all right, I'll go back. So I went back.
Why was she so worried about George, though? What really worried her? Because she wanted you to come home to try and stop him, didn't she?
No, just to meet him, to say goodbye to him.
It might be the last time.
Oh, yes, yes, see, oh, yes, she wanted nothing of that. Oh, no, she wanted me to come home and see George before he went. Because when you went abroad in them days, you got very little over coming back, you know.
What sort of things did your mum say to you when you went off on that?
You know, just the usual good boy, you know, how it was in them days.
Was she a very religious person, your mum, or not?
No, not exactly religious. She was religious, yes, but she didn't attend church then, put it that way. Religious, yeah.
No, because I can remember you saying that when you came back the last time, she sort of...
Yes,
did she
yes.
Do that every time you went away, or not?
I can't remember. She used to pray for us and all that, I know. Yes, she used to tell me she used to kneel and pray for us two boys. Yeah. Yes, she done that. Yes.
What did she used to send you stuff at the front or not?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Send us parcels, yes. Oh, yeah, she used to write to us and send us parcels, and she wrote to me in Germany, in... Well, our prisoner and all, of course. Mm. Oh, yes, you've got your letters and your parcels and all that, yeah. Yes, you've got all that.
Why was it that you were so reluctant to go back this final time?
You try and find somebody who's wanted to go back that had been out there twice, once in a month twice. Did you want to go out and die?
No, but... That's why I asked you that question before, because, you know, you said that you were glad to get back.
Ah, that's different. Glad to get back among my own people when I knew I'd got to go back. Mm. I knew I'd got... When you know you got to go, then once you're told and know, then you want to get back amongst your mates. Right? Same as when I went back the last time, I wanted to get back among my mates. I couldn't. See, I'd disgrace myself.
Did it make any difference, you know, the fact that Sid Carroll was at home and away and out of it or not? Do you think that made much of a difference to you?
Well, you had to sort of get used to it. You can't... No, where should I explain? It's almost impossible to talk now as life is today and as it was then. You can't sort of put it in perspective. It's almost impossible because one day you're happy, the next day you're down and out. Now then. And it's a hell of a job to explain how or why. You see, when you got out there, you wanted the comfort of your mates, see? There's that much about it. And when you were with your mates, you felt that much safer than when you were with someone else that perhaps might have been 10 times better than your mates. So you had the comfort of your own friends round you. Well, then as they kept getting knocked off and so on, and then when you got knocked off and all, you wondered where the hell you were going back to, unless you knew actually who was left there. It's very difficult to explain.
I think I know what you mean. You know Sergeant Rollo Price? Did you keep in touch with him when you were in
jail? No, I never kept in touch with him at all. If I remember right, I reckon my mother wrote and told me that Rollo had been killed. I think so, I ain't sure. or whether whether it was whilst I was at Catterick, I know Vic Matthews, he come from Aylesbury. But anyway, I heard afterwards, and then of course Lynn MacDonald naturally found out all details of the day he was killed, his age and where he come from and his rank and number and everything. They got all that on the War Graves Commission, you know. Yes. Everything.
Yeah.
He got all that.
So you then, when you were sort of drafted out, who did you go out with the next time?
Well, the last time?
Yes.
I told you, all this mob of recruits, I never knew a soul.
Which, what battalion were they in? What regiment were they in?
None at all.
Oh, I see. You were
sort of no, allocated. It was a shipload of recruits, and there you've said the lot. Mm. None of them was in any regiment at all.
So when you got to the other side...
When we got to Le Havre, I told you what happened there.
Well, tell me again, because this is a bit we haven't got on. I haven't got on the tape, you see.
What about them yellow bellies?
Yeah.
Buggers. Yeah, you see, this... That was a load of recruits, but it happened after, you know. It had been going on a long time, and then a few years ago, after I'd made them tapes, it was on the wireless and all sorts of things. Some bloke wrote a book about them yellow bellies. Did you read it or hear of it on wireless?
No.
Yes, some bloke wrote a book. It was in all the papers and on this wireless and television, him and his photo and his book. The mutiny, 1917 mutiny, that was after I took prisoner. He wrote a book about these yellow bellies. There was a riot there. The camp all rioted. Because they were some terrors, you know. And what, in his book, according to what I heard him on here, you know, explaining his book that he'd written, one of the blokes there lost his temper and told him, started to tell him off. Oh, it was over a girl, that was it. This chap had got a girl there, whether she was in one of the service girls, and this yellow belly sort of slated him because he went out with this girl. And he had a yap to him back, and this yellow belly drew out his revolver and shot him dead.
What was
at Leo, at this camp where I was. Yeah, shot him dead, and that was according to his book he telling us.
What was this, who were the yellow bellies then?
Well, they was all instructors. See, now I'll describe it to you. We was in a big camp there, thousands in the camp, and there was a great big field, hell of a big field, and these yellow bellies was all instructors, see? And there's some only lance corporals, and none of them had been to the front, see? They were sent there purpose to make you mad and want and send you out back to the front so you're glad to get away from them. That was behind everything, I could tell that. And what you had to do, every morning they'd march off onto this big parade ground, and there'd be perhaps a dozen or, might have been a dozen or more in a bunch, and a lance corporal with you, you know. And he'd take you out there and he'd drill you. You know, all drill, rifle drill, which you knew inside out and everything. Do all that, and then he'd start giving you lectures and things like that, which you all know all about. Yes, and because she won the Premium Award, you heard that, didn't you, for 79?
That's right, yeah.
You heard
that one. Yeah, yeah. I'd like to start today with a thing which I heard about, which you probably would know all about, because this was a story that Alice Gear told me, that when she went down to see Alf Meacham in Chelmsford, one weekend apparently there was a mass wedding. Can you remember that? Lots of the troop, lots of the men who either met Chelmsford girls or girls from Bradwell or Wolverton were married before going to the front. Can you remember that?
No, I can't remember a wedding at all, but I know there were several got married, but I can't remember, I'm certain I can't remember any separate wedding, no.
No, it was like a group of them were all married all at once.
No, I can't remember it, no.
Ah, okay.
No, it's a bit of bad luck, but I can't remember that, no.
Don't worry. Okay, we'll take up where we left off yesterday. You've arrived at Le Havre.
Yeah.
On the third and final time.
Yes.
And you meet this yellow belly.
Yes, then on that, I was telling you about that party, didn't I?
No,
that you party of yellow bellies, yeah.
You told us without the tape recorder on, that's the point.
Oh,
this is to get it on the tape recorder, you see.
What actually happened there? Now then, let me see. You want me to tell you what actually happened when we arrived there, didn't I?
Right.
Well, now, I told you in the first place that we was a shipload of recruits with just a few of us older hands mixed in, sent back with them. But mainly, they was all newly trained recruits at Catterick, where there was about 20,000 being trained. And we went a shipload of us. Well, when we got to Le Havre, they took us to this big camp, you see. Now, there, they had you and trained you again. See, instead of sending you straight over to the front. What's that? That's middling do, ain't it? Well, when we got there, there was this big camp with a large training ground. Now, why it was done, I never knew, and no one else ever knew. The only thing at the back of our minds was, it was to make you so as you'd be glad to get away from it, to get up to the front where the troops was. And in our case, such as myself and that chap I powered up with, us two, well, because we were keen to get back to our own crowd, our own mates. But no, what happened then on that parade ground was this. They spread you out, or there was any amount of these so-called, what we call yellow bellies. They used to wear a yellow armband. And they was instructors. And they'd have you in batches. And on the ground, on this large parade ground, there was an old brigadier that used to drive about on his horse, ride round to different sections on the parade ground. He was the gaffer. And they'd have you in small groups, 10, dozen perhaps. I'll make a rough guess, a dozen group in a group. Well, then there'd be one of these lance corporals, and he would have you drill you, you know, arms drill, what you call, or you perhaps understand what they call arms drill, you know, slope arms and all that. And it puts you through your paces like that. Well, old blimey, we'd had that years, you see. And the recruits had all also had it, so there was no object in it. And then it'd have you from that. It'd settle you down in a group. In groups, you'd be seeing set all over this large grey ground in groups. And this lance corporal, I'm talking now in my case, this lance corporal had got us small groups there, and I was the only one in this group that had been out there before, you see. These other kids were there the first time out, just newly trained kids.